Ladies and gentlemen, we present The Navy Lot by Lawrie Wyman, starring Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee. From time to time, we all suffer from a dose of nostalgia. That's not the nasty stabbing pain in your head. It's the art of remembering the good old days, which were really sheer hell at the time. For instance, we men always remember the tear in our first girlfriend's eye when we had to tell her the romance that was to last a lifetime was over. What we don't remember is the time she belted you with her handbag for over-snogging. Lieutenant Murray of HMS Trousbridge is no exception to this rule, for even in the Royal Navy, there's plenty of room for a great bath of I remember when.
Come in.
Excuse me, sir. Just checking. Yes, just as I thought. What an extraordinary coincidence. Goodbye, sir.
Mr. Phillips!
Sir?
You can't just march into my cabin, glare at the furniture, chuck me a salute and march out again.
Oh, yes, I can, sir. I just did.
No. What were you looking for?
Nothing, sir. Nothing at all. I knew it was here. I just wanted to make sure. And now I have, so it's all right.
Oh, good. What is?
That photograph on your bulkhead, sir.
On my what?
Bulkhead. It's a word I picked up. It means that wall over there.
Oh, I know what it means, all right. I was merely surprised that you did.
Well, until yesterday, I didn't, actually. I thought it was a rude word. Old sailors yelled at me when I wore my new cap with the big peak, you know.
Yes, I've seen you wearing it. Which photograph are you talking about?
Well, sir, not the one of the lady who is liable to catch her death, sir.
Oh, she's, she's my aunt, actually.
Really? Well, if you've got any more relatives about with her dimensions, I can't wait to meet your family. Cool. If only they waited until those bath suds had subsided, or she pulled the plug out.
Mr. Phillips, apart from my rude aunt, apart from the souvenir of my relative, which photograph were you looking at?
The one of that old tub at sea, sir.
Old tub? Mm. Mr. Phillips, that is HMS Varsity. She was my first command.
Good gracious. I'd no idea you'd been in the Navy that long, sir. And then they make ships a lot bigger now, don't they?
Not that type of ship, Mr. Phillips. No, she's an inshore minesweeper.
Really? She looks like a mini frigate.
Probably because she's well over 100 feet shorter from stem to stern.
From what to what?
Sorry, from blunt end to the pointed bit.
Oh, I see what you mean, yes.
Why all this interest in the photograph?
Well, it's not often you see a lady with such large...
Not that one, this one.
Oh, the ship. I see what you mean. Well, I thought I was right, but I just wanted to check up, and I am. Which is quite a coincidence, but... Mind you, it's only once, so it doesn't count. And taken overall, it doesn't happen if you think about it, does it? Or hadn't you noticed? Well, there we are then, aren't we?
Where?
I've no idea.
Look, let's start a new game. Why are you interested in my photograph of HMS Varsity?
Well, it's the same ship.
What is it?
The one that's tied up to the far wall, waiting to be towed to the breaker's yard.
What? The Varsity being broken up? They're mad. You must have made a mistake.
No, I haven't, sir. I passed her as I was coming through the dockyard.
What were you doing right over at the far wall?
Trying to find Troutbridge, actually.
Yeah, go on.
Yes, well, there was HMS Varsity, sir, waiting to be towed to the breakers, and I thought I recognized her from that photograph. And sure enough, it's her. Your old indoor minesweeper.
Inshore, actually. This is absolutely terrible. They've no right to break up ships like the Varsity. Especially after all her valiant service on the Murmansk run in those grim and terrible years.
Lummy, did you actually sail her all the way to Murmansk during the war?
Well, not exactly. We just called it the Murmansk run.
Then where did you sail her to?
Bridlington.
I say, even further.
Yeah.
When was this, sir?
1958.
I thought you said grim and terrible years.
Yeah, I did. We also did it in 1957. It rained all the way both times.
Oh, what a shame. Such a pretty trip, too. At least it is the way I go.
That probably is via Mormant.
No, it's not, you know. If you remember last time, it was via Melbourne. Nice chaps, those Australians. They didn't call me Bulkhead. They called me Cobber.
After the way you docked, it wasn't Cobber they were calling you. It was Clobber. Right, something has got to be done about this. I can't have my old ship broken up. So we'll go up to Captain Pope's office and see if we can put a stop to it. HMS Varsity must be good for years of service, yes? Right, Johnson. Now, look, one more eve should do it. Right? To me. From you.
I'm not happy.
Look, stop paying such a misery, Carter. Look, this is a dead ship, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's bound for the breaker's yard.
Yeah.
Will they all be? We're breaking her up first to save them the trouble. We may even get a medal.
We may even get 10 years.
Look, Eve, Johnson, Eve. Oh, lovely. Oh, lovely. That little lot of milk down a tree.
Yeah, it better. My end has got HMS Varsity stamped on it.
Has it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, just to be on the safe side, perhaps better saw that bit off and put it back.
Oh, you shouldn't bother. You've already had the ship's bell, and you'll never be able to file a ship's name off that.
Right, now look, stop panicking. We'll make a fortune.
Yeah, with any luck, in 10 years, we'll be able to spend it, won't we? Exactly.
No, no. And look, you're all doom and gloom this morning, Johnson. Gloom and doom you are, aren't you?
Yeah.
Try to understand, Johnson, boy.
Yeah.
Look, we're saving the country money. Do you understand, you great fat globule of grease? Look, come here, listen to me. Look, work it out for yourself. If we strip this inshore minesweeper of all the odds and bits we can, it'll cut down the man hours the breakers have to spend on her in barrow.
And the fact that the only odds and bits we've managed to strip off so far are lead, brass and copper is purely coincidence.
Of course.
10 years. Fatso's finished. Good morning.
Come back here.
Look, if you want to tell my Uncle Ebenezer that the deal for scrap metal, which I agree with him, and copped half down and advanced, is off. But we don't.
What?
As you say, my chubby little chirrup.
What?
No, Chief, your Uncle Ebenezer wasn't the ewer I meant. Number one, Mr. Phillips and Wren Chasen.
What?
10 years.
Oh, well, come, Johnson. What are they doing down this end of the dockyard? Look, quick, Johnson. Look, hide all that salvage before they see it.
Yeah.
And if you can't hide it,
yeah,
eat it.
Right, that shouldn't take me long to munch me way through. You're a rotten, you are. Dirty, stinky rotten. Rottens don't come any dirtier or any stinkier. If rotten were fourpence a bag, you'll be a tin bob sack full of rotten.
Yeah, very likely, but hide that gear and meet me down in the engine room.
Why?
It's the best place I can think of to hide. If they come aboard, they'll never look down there.
What do you bet?
A boot of your podgy posterior if they do. Come on, get mobile and vanish.
Just for a giggle, we call it the Merman Run.
Look, I agree it's all very sad that your old command is to be broken up, Stephen, but there it is.
It's a crying shame, though. I mean, look at her. They've started taking bits off her already. All the brass rail has gone. She'll never look the same.
Leslie,
mm-hmm.
You've never seen the Varsity before. You weren't the one who served in her. It was Stephen.
Really? Then what on earth am I so blooming worried about? No idea.
But you're right, they have started breaking her up. Well, they'll jolly well have to put it all back. Come on, let's go aboard and see how much damage they've done. Oh, look, even that's gone. If anyone was entitled to that, I was.
Entitled to what, Stephen?
Ship's bell.
Perhaps it's a ship's knocker you could have instead. Or a letterbox.
Come on, let's have a look on the bridge and see if there's any sign of that bell.
I say, sir, look what I found in this cupboard.
What is it?
Right, a lot of old signal flags.
Oh, Bunting, don't they look pretty?
Yeah, many is the historic signal I've made with those flags. Plummy. Do you mean England expects?
Yeah, I'm not quite as old as all that, Dan.
Couldn't we hoist one now, Stephen?
Or rather, sir, just for old times.
No, I don't think we really...
On the other hand, it would give the varsity a sort of lived-in look, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you leave it to me, sir.
One set of mixed assorted going up now, sir.
What's this for, Stephen?
Yeah, oh, that's the voice pipe for the engine room. You just take that bung out and blow down it. It makes a whistle sound below.
Well, can I try?
For you, Heather. Anything.
Oh,
oh, well, really.
Engine room?
Oh!
Sorry, no reply.
Lummy, she's haunted.
Oh, no, she isn't. I'd know that voice anywhere. Chief Petty Officer Pertwee.
I never heard of it, sir.
Pertwee.
There's nobody down here but us workmen, sir.
Yeah, that's right, sir. We're just stripping out all the brass and the copper.
I should have known, of course, as soon as I saw everything movable had gone. Pertwee.
Huh?
Meet us in the wardrobe and bring the ship's bell with you.
Ship bell? Thank God, Lord, I don't know what you mean. What happened? Look, when I get rid of the rest of the scrap, I'll have you melt it down for glue. Sorry, pardon.
You were saying, Chief?
See you in the wardrobe with the bell, sir.
Thank you.
Lovely view, Captain Foley. Makes a man proud, sir. The fleeting port and all that, sir. Hearts of oak all around us, sir. Ships of the British Navy as far as the eye can see, sir. I really must get out and have a butcher's round the dockyard more often, sir.
Exactly, sir.
Captain Foley, sir?
As the Admiral has now left us, I suppose it's my duty to say.
Oh, it is, sir. Oh, yes, no doubt about it, sir. A senior officer, sir. Carry on, sir. Say what, sir?
Shut your cake hole.
Cake hole made fast, sir.
Now, let's understand one thing. I can't allow the dockyard to be cluttered up with a lot of old rust. There is no room for dead ships, and they must be cleared immediately.
Is that what you tell the Admiral, sir?
No, that's what he told me. He was referring to the old inshore minesweepers, like the Varsity over there. Who? What the blazes is that signal she's flying?
Signal, sir? Oh, all that bunting, sir. Just a second, sir. I'll look it up in my little book, sir.
Come on, Max. Hurry up. You should know what it means.
Just checking, sir. Yes, I've got it now, sir, and you're not going to believe this, sir. It reads, F, I am disabled. You are standing in the danger. D, keep clear of me. R, you may feel your way past me. O, man overboard. D, your lights are out.
Well, whoever thinks that funny has got another thing coming. But I'm going aboard the Varsity, lads. Now, you'd better alert the tug that's towing her to the baker's yard at Barrow. I must have her moved at once. If the Admiral sees that inshore minesweeper still here, he'll go berserk over both of us. And the sooner she's towed away, the better for both our pensions.
Merman's Run.
Didn't you ever get anywhere else but Bridlington?
Yeah, of course. On one trip, we broke down Skegness.
That must have been awful for
you. That bell shouldn't have HMS Varsity on it. It should have present from Bridlington.
Or in fond memory of a clangor at Skegness.
Now, that's enough. Stop taking the mickey out of Stephen's little boat.
I know you're trying to help, dear, but you're making her sound like something I floated in my bath.
We went down the plug hole at Skegness.
Pertwee, that'll do.
I must say, this is a jolly small wardroom, sir. I mean, compared with the one in Troutbridge, it's like a well-upholstered telephone box.
Oh, we managed.
That reminds me, I wonder if I left any.
Huh? What? Left any what?
Gin.
Oh, no, sir, you didn't. No, Chancellor, I've searched every nook and cranny. Why don't you have a look?
Yeah, I will. I had a petty officer like you, Pertwee, so I had to hide the wallop in a box under that bunk.
Aye? Well, of all the low-down underhand... Ooh, I say, what a bit of luck. Oh, look, there's still some gin left, sir.
Any lemonade for me?
Look, strike a light. Look, just for once in your life, Mr. Phillips, to live dangerously.
You pour one out all round, Chief.
Yes, with pleasure, sir.
And, pour yours first.
Yeah, mine first?
Yes, I'm trying to avoid all that old nonsense about, well, there's only one drop left in the bottle, so I may as well finish it off.
Sometimes, Mr. Murray, sir, I've a feeling Pertwee has served with you too long.
I'm learning. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you a toast to HMS Varsity, soon to be lost, but never forgotten.
HMS Varsity.
I might have known. Just what the blazes is going on? What are you lot doing aboard? What's the meaning of that ridiculous signal you're flying?
Oh, don't ask me, sir. I only flew it. I can't read it, sir.
Tell us, Mary. I insist on knowing what you're doing aboard this ship.
Well, it's a long story, sir. You see, she was my first command when I first became a lieutenant. And I was saying...
Call it
the
Merman's
Run. Oh, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, me too. You know, it's jolly odd, but for the last half hour of Mr. Murray's story, I've had a distinct feeling that the ship was moving.
Oh, of course she isn't, Leslie. Otherwise, we'd all have... Stephen?
Must be an illusion. Well, it had better be. Do you realize the time? It's 1 hour before sunset, and all friends have to be ashore.
In that case, sir... I'll bet that's a good swimmer.
What?
Through the porthole, sir. Somehow or another, we hit him in miles out in the briny and go in ahead like 1 o'clock, sir.
What?
It's his fault. He and Johnson have pinched the anchor and we're adrift.
We never touched him. We were saving that for later.
This is awful. We must get that back to Portsmouth at once. Whatever would the Admiral say if he heard that I'd been aboard a ship with a red after sunset?
I've got a fair idea, sir.
Yes. So have I, Captain Povey, sir. Probably something like,
you dirty old devil. See, we must go up on deck at once and see what's happening.
Aye, aye, sir.
Right away, sir.
At the double thing.
I don't believe it. I simply don't believe it.
Now, I wonder what stupid idiot ordered the ship to be towed off this afternoon.
Well, I'll tell you exactly who the stupid... Yeah, well, never mind. The question is, what do we do now?
Well, we could cut the towing order, sir.
Mad we'd be casting ourselves adrift. There's no fuel aboard.
With due respect, sir, I happen to know there is.
Yeah, we didn't have time to soften it out before you came aboard.
No! With my foot.
My apologies, Hopalong.
Son of a buddy, if we do cast off the towing line, do you think you could sail this ship back to port?
Of course he can.
Rather, the Murmansk Run and all that.
Hey, who wants to go to Brislington?
Well, I could try, sir. Might be just like old times.
Yeah, very possibly, sir. But you'll let me know when we're going to suffer from the wind off Cleethorpes, won't you? I know where there's some bicarbonate over there.
Oh, shut up. Pass me the loud hailer. I'll warn the skipper of the tugboat that's towing us.
But then hurry up, then.
Right, sir.
Ahoy there! This is the tugboat man!
Down me! Who did that?
I did!
Here! What are you doing there? It's a dead ship! Here! You're not going fire!
Certainly not! You turned us away when we weren't looking!
Ask him if he's got a brother who's a traffic warden.
Pertwee.
Will you tell us back to Portsmouth if we want to get off?
Not likely. I've got the orders. We're going to Barra.
No, look here.
Pertwee, you and Johnson knock the shackles in out of the towing hawser. We'll just have to hope that Lieutenant Murray can sail us back to Portsmouth.
Dirty, stinking, horrible, grubby fog. It had to happen, didn't it?
Bridge?
Oh, hello, Stephen. I'm in the wardrobe. I found a few tins of food and cooked us all something.
Oh, well done. We're starving. What is it?
Well, I'm not sure, but try to think of it as a sort of goulash.
Your pardon?
It's made up of two tins of sardines, a tin of lunch, a tin of peas, and gravy made out of corn flour and coconut.
Oh. Well, I'll tell the others, but I'm rather busy, and my appetite isn't quite what it was.
Just a minute, sir. Just a minute. Look, look, the fog is lifting. I can see something, yes? Yes, I can definitely see. It's another ship.
Quick, port the helm.
What?
Let's hand down a bit.
Well, why don't you say so in the first place?
Right.
Well, almost.
I never heard anything like it.
No, it was a bit loud, wasn't it? I wonder what ship she is.
You did not have down nothing, idiot! Look what you've done! You swiped me in the summer!
I know what ship it is. That blasted tug that was towing us.
How jolly odd. He must have decided to come back to Portsmouth, too.
You idiot, it's Barrow! Look there at the breaker's yard.
What
happened? You tipped over my sardine goulash.
He appears to be docking us in Barrow with a bent tug tied in the head.
Oh, do be quiet, Bertram. Anyway, I haven't docked yet. I have now.
What on earth are we going to do now? Bridge?
My poor little head. Able Seaman Johnson here, sir, in the engine room. Who made Fatso Belvis bonce on the boiler?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought, sir. And he's a rotten. So I thought you ought to know, sir. There's a lot of sticky stuff dripping through from the deck above me, sir.
Sticky stuff?
Yeah. Tastes like sardine goulash, sir.
Oh, trust you to recognize your nosh. Well, eat all you want, Johnson.
Oh, you already have, sir. It's dripping fast and I can swallow it.
Well, do the best you can. Catch it in your cap and lap it up later.
Captain Povey, sir.
Now, just be quiet, everybody. I'd like a little bit of hush whilst I try to work out how we're all going to get back to Portsmouth.
Excuse me, sir. If I could make a suggestion, sir. Why don't we all go back by train, sir? And you could tell the Admiral that you'd supervise the removal of his ship from Portsmouth and the breaker's yard personally.
Yes, sir, my dear lady. Now, just a minute. This is rather delicate. What is the train fare from here?
Oh, I think I can rake up enough for Heather and myself, sir.
And luckily, I drew enough to cover it yesterday morning from Mr. Porker, my piggy bank.
Excuse me, but how much is the fare, if I dare ask?
Well, I've done the trip once before. It's about a fiver.
Ah, well, that's all right, then. I've got enough in my pocket for Fatso and me.
Good gracious.
Yeah, well, I did a sort of deal with me Uncle Ebenezer, sir, for second-hand copper and brass. He paid me half down in advance.
Really?
Yes, sir. Mind you, I'm going to talk the old fool into collecting what he bought all the way from Barrow. I'm blowed if I know.
You'll get lynched. Still, what a bit of luck. We've all got enough to get back by train.
As a matter of fact, I don't seem to have... Well, that is, I've only brought with me...
Well, there's bound to be at least one more train this evening, then we'll all be back tomorrow.
Gentlemen, I was wondering if... Well, under the circumstances... Well, could any of you possibly...
Not a penny.
Well,
I'll
be cleaned
up, sir.
Yeah, me too.
A lot more.
But you can't leave me stranded up here. I spent the Saturday sixpence my dear wife Ramona allowed me on a lolly.
You little spendthrift.
What am I going to do? How am I going to get back to Portsmouth?
Well, it's simple, sir. That tugboat is bound to be going back in a day or two, so why don't you chat him up? Once you promise that the Navy will pay for the damage we did, he's bound to give you a lift back.
First we.
Of course, you may have to work your passage, but shoveling all that coal will give you a lovely physique, sir. You'll come back a new man, sir. Mrs. Povey will see you in a new light, sir. She hasn't divorced you for desertion by then. You never know your luck, sir. You never know your luck. Hello, sir.
Leslie Phillips, Stephen Murray, and John Pertwee have been Drifting Through the Navy Lock, written by Laurie Wine. Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Stephen Murray was the number one, John Pertwee was the chief petty officer. Captain Povey was played by Richard Caldicott, Heather was Heather Chasen, the Admiral's flag lieutenant was Michael Bates, and Abel Seaman Johnson was played by Ronnie Barker. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston.